You're listening to The Murmur at Alpert Medical School. Today, we'll be hearing from Jeff Cooley, a familiar face you might have seen around the school. Maybe you saw him in an OSCE practice video. Maybe you saw him running one of your tests. Who is he?
I'm Jeff Cooley, and I work here at Alpert Medical School. I'm really excited to announce that I'm going to be the LIC clerkship coordinator. That's a new and exciting avenue for me.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm sure students would be so curious to hear about how you got here.
It's always fun to address it because it's not a standard way of working, I think, or navigating the med school. My wife Jackie and I moved to Providence. It was because of her job, actually. There was an opportunity at Brown, of all places. And she ended up working at CAPS and for a while was the interim director at CAPS. She's really good at what she does, and I admire her very much for that. So that was the reason we ended up moving here. It kept my mind open, you know, if I wanted to keep teaching and wanted to continue pursuing that endeavor, which I love passionately, of course. People I knew, mutual friends, had worked as standardized patients in the doctoring program and saw that I loved doing some improv and some acting, just dabbling. I got my start in the building as a standardized patient, did some training videos, and I'm featured in a few of those. That's great. That's always fun. And in the meantime as well, while I was doing that part-time, I worked at Hasbro Children's Hospital as a teacher. It's a very intense program to help students with various physical, emotional needs as they navigate a very challenging time in their life. Part of that program, while they work on every aspect, whether it's maybe managing diabetes or epilepsy or maybe acute depression or anxiety, as they receive help from the psychiatrists and psychologists, we don't want them to lose track of their academic studies. They're missing a lot of school while they're in the partial program. So I would be the teacher who would help work with them, and it was quite a bit of one-on-one working and in a group of maybe a dozen to 15 students and help them keep up with their studies. So it was me teaching again, continuing the education, and I loved it very much. I mean, it was so rewarding to see the success stories as they worked through their various incredible challenges. One girl who was incredibly challenging on many levels for everybody there, including herself, and she said she was would often say she's her worst enemy. At the end, she gave hugs all around, and she still will send an email and just check in.
So you're here part-time as an SP.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably some things that you go back after and you kind of laugh about that students do.
I had actually a situation where a first-year student was doing the HENT exam, and let's just say she came in a little hot to one of my ears when she was examining, and it was a little discomfort is a term I would use, and I reacted, I jumped a little. I've seen her since in the years, and she's like, I still feel so sorry about that. I'm like, it's okay, we're okay, no harm done. I flinch a little, but that's okay. I graduated way long time ago from Northern Michigan University, and upper Midwestern person who was used to a lot of cold weather. I did a lot of public speaking while I was in college. For various events, I would offer just to work on my skills. And I spoke with the Northern Michigan accent. So there was a lot of yah, eh, how's it going there? You know, this kind of thing.
Is that what it sounds like?
It's very much, yeah. It's very charming, but when you want a professional career and you want to move from that area, I was very cognizant about trying to neutralize my delivery and, I guess, make it more palatable to a wider audience.
I almost feel like I would enjoy it a lot if I came into an OSCE and you were the SP. And
yeah, it's funny because I thought of that. I have friends who say they love it when I slip into it, and it's that's interesting for future reference. That's maybe I'll slip that. There are a few things that I've done in improv actually as a hobby where I have characters where I'll kind of explore that territory. I have a character. Now that you
he asked, says with a gleeful look on his face.
I'm so glad you asked. There's a character that's recurring, and I like to use him. His name is Richard Hinkler. And Richard is a custodian, and I work with a good friend, Jake Goldman, who's an incredible improviser, a fantastic performer. He will oftentimes do an improv talk show, And my role from time to time as Richard Hinkler will be the disruptor character. As he's in the middle of his talk show, I'll just come in with a broom and just walk right into every scene, do the, yeah, so what's going on here? Oh, what you guys doing? You know, you gathered? What, do you got a meeting? The Providence Improv Guild, Wage House is another theater that we do some improv. Also at AS220, many of our SPs, our standardized patients, have an acting background and are improvisers.
So we could, if we wanted to, come and see an improv show.
Highly encourage it. They're a great time, incredibly talented people, and just and they're like $5 shows.
You mentioned you play guitar. Is that another one of your hobbies?
I do. And I found a chord chart poster I put on the wall in my apartment, and every night I would take 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, just to learn new chords. I find arranging and composing chord progressions just incredibly gratifying and therapeutic. It balances me out when I'm feeling some stress. So from my childhood, I would love the acoustic guitar sound in songs. In fact, actually, kind of a poignant moment, Tom Petty's passing this past week, for those who know his music. There was Into the Great Wide Open. When he released it, he had this beautiful, beautiful 12-string guitar sound on it. That was probably the reason I bought a 12-string guitar, of all things, as my first acoustic guitar. That inspired me. One of my favorite chords is an E major 7th. If you asked me 6-7 years ago, Jeff, would you be at a medical school doing what you're doing? It wasn't on the radar. I love very much being involved in education, so that makes sense. That's a logical jump. When I started here, Dana Zink, to her credit, saw that there were, you know, talents as far as feedback, communication model type things, and she very early on said, "I'd like you to be more involved." And Dr. Steve Rugas, Dr. Sarita Warrior, same thing. They would have me help out with some remediation situations and feedback situations. And so that evolved slowly into working with MedEd, and I love the MedEd team too, so I'm working downstairs. And when we last year invested in ultrasound machines for the school, Dr. Dick Dallas, who everybody loves and misses, he's retired now, at the time he asked me if I'd like to be involved with that as we rolled out that program, and I jumped. And again, if you asked me 7 years ago, are you going to be helping with this ultrasound program and knowing how to kind of navigate machines? I would have just, wow, what? And now that's been a big part of my job. And it's one of these weird, convoluted stories. I don't know that you could say in college, okay, this is a thread. This is a career thread you should follow. It happens. And I'm a type of person who leans all in. If there's a challenge, if there's something in front of me, I jump, and maybe it's, you know, people laugh, like, you don't have to jump all the time, you don't have to lean, but I do. It's part of my personality, and I like helping people, so I think that was part of, you know, people saw that, my desire here. I love being at the med school. You know, you hear white space, and what you do at white space is important, incredibly important, and there's very little of it, I understand, but I would recommend take those moments to, if you have, we talked about in creative endeavors or things that you just want to look up and you're curious about, do that and take that time to develop the full self. It's so important. And there were times where I wasn't cognizant of how imbalanced I was, and you pay for that. And that's unfortunate. It doesn't need to be that way. So,
are you saying white space is like free time?
A free time, yeah. In your schedule, which is incredibly booked, I realize. But if there is a little bit of free time, know what fulfills you and maybe know what you would like to check out. But I think as a student, it's really important to understand your balance situation. If you need help, to reach out. I never reached out. I think it was a pride thing, and it was just ridiculous. Why would I, you know, in times when I didn't feel balanced, why wouldn't I reach out? I had a great support network. So I would suggest that if you're struggling with something, or if you have a chance to explore a different side, something totally different than medicine. And we have the Integrated Clinical Arts Program, which has been a lot of fun to help coordinate.
It was wonderful.
I'm glad. We've heard from a lot of students, and that program keeps building and getting better because students give wonderful feedback. So, but that's the kind of thing I would encourage. Take a moment to think about what you would like to do, what sort of passions kind of sustain you and fulfill you. And if it's related with medicine, great. That's fantastic. If it's totally unrelated, great. You know, make some time for that. So that would be my humble advice.
Thank you for listening to The Murmur. We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Office of Student Affairs at Albert Medical School, the Albert Medical Student Senate, and to Jeff Cooley for producing original tracks. This episode was produced by Angela Zhang, and we'd like to thank Jeff Cooley for providing his original insight for the interview. Lastly, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for their single, Into the Great Wide Open.